saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get your project started right with our huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, from installing a walkway to setting a post. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Looks over the top. Didn't get the snap off in time. Delay of game will back them up.
The margin for error in the NFL, it's thin.
Early movement again.
Yeah, Allen moves once again. Left tackle Jeff Allen moved once again.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he's comfortable on the left side, and I thought that was a move we had to make, and I got a lot of respect for Jeff.
Allen moved again.
False start. Offense, the 79.
There was just a little miscommunication out there, so that's all I can say about it.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, if you missed it, when we started the show, we mentioned one, Jeff Allen, and the sound that you just heard, and the fact that, with all that being said, and three consecutive penalties that we took off the audio from the CBS national feed there, as well as the sound after the game from him post the loss. The crazy thing was three successive penalties. Right, he turns a 4th-and-4 into a 4th-and-19, and yet they got it. And then Tom Savage threw the interception. Can you imagine the backlash if on 4th-and-19 it was incomplete or intercepted, and then they would have really been talking about him?
Yeah, it's weird to think that Tom Savage bailed him out.
For one play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he made himself look bad.
Exactly.
Super weird, though. What a weird sequence of events to see that. I'm just like, this really isn't happening, is it? Did I accidentally hit? You know how you have the 7-second rewind button?
Yep.
Look, did I go back three times in a row? What is going on here?
Lisa was in the other room with the baby, and I'm seriously screaming, are you serious? He did it again. She goes, you must be watching the Texans. I go, yeah, the same guy committed the same penalty three times in a row. And then I yelled, and he got it, the first down. And I thought, okay, here comes Tom Savage. Boop, 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 boop. Maybe not.
We had a text from somebody. If Eli is coming back to the Giants next season, what do you think they do with their first-round pick?
You still... There's so many ways to go because that team needs a running back. We mentioned the fact that both Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese were fired today. And as a general manager, Jerry Reese just hasn't done a good job in 5 years in the draft. But they need a running back. They need a quarterback of the future. But they need so many things that it's going to be up to the new GM and the new coach to decide, you know, what way are they going? Are they going to try and still win now because their defense was supposed to be better than average? And if they're healthy, is it pretty decent defense? But are you trying to still win now, or are you going to start the rebuild that no one wants to do?
I think they got to go. I think you look at quarterback because you know that Eli has 1 or 2 years left, but they really need help. You can get running backs later in the draft, but in the first round, I think you got to either look at quarterback or especially drafting top five like they're probably going to be.
Yeah.
Look at a quarterback or look at fixing that offensive line. That offensive line
awful.
Is garbage.
Yeah. You're right.
And there's the kid from Texas, Williams. I forget the tackle from Oklahoma, but he's pretty highly regarded as well. He'll probably be a top 10 pick. So there are some options there that you can go after. I would stick to those, either quarterback or
I wasn't insinuating take a running back right away, but they just have needs, and you're right. The biggest need, obviously, in the first round, take your money position, take the quarterback, and it really depends on who picks ahead of them, if anybody will. But if Cleveland picks ahead of them and they have multiple picks and they still need a quarterback, one could be off the board. But whether it be Rosen or Darnold or Baker Mayfield, whoever, get yourself a solid quarterback. And you're right. The offensive line is the biggest weakness on that entire team. And you realize that at least for one more year, because when you have to ask Eli, are you coming back? That means he's getting to the end of the road. But if he wants to come back for one more year, and if he does end up with the Giants again, then you still have to try and win next year.
Well, I think they were asking him because of what happened, though.
Well,
right?
But they
not
still,
because he's
no,
getting...
because also because the head of CBS said that they would offer him a job right now and put him in the booth and make him broadcast.
Because of the benching, though, and the disgruntled with the Giants. I mean, I don't think if that happens that that's a question that comes up. Do you? At least for another couple of years. I mean, hell, they were 11-5 last year.
Well, they felt like this. You know, he could basically just walk away from everything because this was the end of the road. He hasn't played well all year.
No. I'm certainly not suggesting that. I'm thinking he probably felt like he's got another couple of years left until all this crap went down.
Because people forget when you Shepard's been dinged up, but you lose OBJ and you lose Brandon Marshall for essentially the entire year. It's tough to throw to the ball to guys that you don't trust and have faith in.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Orlando Brown was the guy I was thinking about, the tackle from Oklahoma.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think there's some options for him for sure. I would like to have a guy in that lineup that, like, you know, like you said, like Sam, you know, all the big names at the top, right? Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen. Give them a year or two behind Eli to learn, a la Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre, and let them take over the reins. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, I agree totally. And again, you're not going to be the Cleveland Browns then. At least you know who your future quarterback is going to be, and you're grooming that player as opposed to, you know, guessing and taking shots in the dark and running 16 different players.
That's the beauty of being the Giants versus the Browns. If you're the Giants, you can afford to draft one of those three names and let them sit a year or two. If you're the Browns, you've got to draft the guy that's the most NFL ready. That's the next Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, Deshaun Watson, Jared Goff that's going to come in and have an impact
Case Keenum.
Right away. Yeah, yeah.
I only mentioned that because DJ's been on hold and he wants to bring up Case Keenum, who's been playing his ass off. DJ, what's up? DJ.
DJ, turn your radio off.
On his radio.
Turn your
DJ,
radio off,
turn your
DJ.
Radio off and give us what you got on.
Okay, hey, how's it going, fellas?
What's up, man?
Hey, man, I've been looking at this Case Keenum guy. I've been actually checking this dude out, you know, since he was those 6 years at U of H. And I've been looking, man, I'm like, this is the Kyle Lowry of football. Like, every time I see Kyle Lowry, I'm like, dang, what the Rockets kind of wouldn't give to, you know, at least a couple of years ago to get that guy back. Maybe they wouldn't have to spend so much on a Chris Paul. I just want to know you guys' thoughts on that, man. Do you think am I jumping the gun? Is this an apparition, or is Case Keenum like is he growing up before our eyes? I hate to listen, man.
Well, here's what I'll say, Barry, real quick. You know, he's not the Kyle Lowry because he's had three shots with three teams. But I will say this: if you're the Minnesota Vikings, quit asking when Sam Bradford's coming back or when Teddy Bridgewater is taking over, and realize this guy has led you to 8 straight wins. Regardless of anything else that has happened in the past or you want to do in the future with your franchise, for this season and the way it's going, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, and you ride the hot hand, and Case Keenum is truly the hot hand.
Case Keenum got in trouble for saying that, man.
Well, I'm just saying, hopefully everybody's learned something from previous experiences and realizes that this guy's pushing all the right buttons, doing all the right things, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You're in first place in the division. You've won 8 straight games. Your defense is unbelievable. I think you just roll with him, and then you see what happens next year.
Coming into this year, he was 9-15 as a starter in the NFL.
Including here.
He started his first 8 starts in the NFL. He was 0-8. 2-0 in 2014, 3-2 in St. Louis, 4-5 in for the Rams. So 9-15. Now he's 8-2 with the Vikings. But let's think about this for a second. And to answer the caller's question, no, I don't think he's the Kyle Lowry, because I think you would be discrediting how good Kyle Lowry is.
Correct. And I'm with you on that.
Maybe pumping up Case Keenum a little bit too much. Because if you look at Minnesota, Sam Bradford played really well in that offense.
The first game he was
lights out. Even last year when Bridgewater went down, Sam Bradford came in and played pretty well. He's played pretty well this year. He stuck around. Keenum's playing well. How much of it is that system? How much of it is the coaching? How much of it is the people around him, as opposed to, because right now it just seems like you could put anyone in Minnesota and they seem to do well. So I don't know if they're getting enough credit for that.
I don't know if it's like, I'm with you, I don't know if it's like a Jeremy Lin type run where he's just good for a good portion of a season and then this is all going to.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say.
It's a pretty good call.
I don't want to say these things because I was
good
a guy
call,
that.
Jeremy Lin comparison. Yeah. You can blow up and then you can still crap the bed.
Yeah. I mean, Jeremy Lin, I guess he's good enough to be in the NBA, and perhaps Case Keenum is good enough to be in the NFL. We just don't know if he'll be consistently the guy over there.
I think it's pretty safe to say there's a lot of Texans fans that believe he's pretty good and good enough to be in the NFL to the standpoint they'd take him over the guy they got quarterbacking right now.
That's true.
But, I mean, look, I mean, you can also learn along the way from your mistakes, but when you look at the numbers he's put up and what he's been able to do, and then you factor in the fact that you lose their number one draft pick in their running back from Florida State, Dalvin Cook. Mm-hmm. You know, you've had Diggs in and out of the lineup with injuries, and Adam Thielen's been just a fantastic find. But overall, they've endured injuries too, and the common theme is he's found a way. He's the classic taboo term, Barry, we use all the time. He's a game manager. But when he does his job and does it well, he's managed to win 8 straight games. So that's pretty impressive. I knew this call was coming, too. Clarence is coming. I already mentioned it, Clarence. I already said I was wrong, but all right. His Saints got another win, so hey, guys, how you doing? Who dat? Okay. Clarence is coming up next. We got a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Hey, we're back on the Usual Suspects, where it's crazy that we're talking so much about a team like the New York Football Giants who suck, but they have made more news than probably they would like today. They fired their coach, Ben McAdoo, their GM, Jerry Reese. They lost again to the Raiders in what was a closer game than expected. Geno Smith started and ended Eli Manning's long consecutive game streak. All those are kind of tidbits. By now, you've heard more than enough commentary and everything that's been going on with the Giants from the mainstream media like SportsCenter and all the sports shows. But what you may not have heard is some pretty good dialogue from actor Michael Rapaport, who is getting more and more involved in sports commentary. Let's just say he doesn't keep it clean, but it's also a great listen, if you know what I mean.
Ben McAdoo, coach of the New York Giants, you decided to bench Eli Manning? You f*** you? You're benching two-time Super Bowl champion Eli Manning? You mother f*** you. The only person that should be getting benched is your f***ing barber. Okay, and whoever's telling you you look good with that dumb f***ing mustache, you're the coach of the New York Giants. This isn't a minor league baseball team in Saskatchewan, you motherfucker, you. You're benching Eli Manning, and you're going to start Geno f***ing Smith? Geno Smith is not the answer. Geno Smith has never been the answer. The only person who's the answer is the great Allen Iverson, you f***ing you. Bench yourself for not improving the offensive line, Ben McAdoo. Bench yourself for not getting us a decent running back. Bench yourself for letting D'Angelo Williams become a wrestler. He was available all offseason, but you didn't get him. You don't bench Eli somehow, someway, Manning. He somehow, someway got us Super Bowl rings. Two of them, okay? The Steelers would never bench Terry Bradshaw. The Miami Dolphins would never bench Dan Marino. When Geno Smith throws 3 interceptions in the first half, and you, Ben McAdoo, come over to Eli Manning and tell him to check in. Eli Manning, you say these very words. Coach, eat a dick. I ain't going in. You go in.
That's great on so many levels. I want to say that to you guys so many times now. You F you. That's a sentence. That's just everything I need to say.
I think his accent helps with the delivery of that, though. Sure. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm just appalled. That's just so filthy. I can't.
We did do it during the pickup line.
You know, this show has been known for taking the high road.
Oh, boy.
Eat a d-
We've been known for being the class of radio. And this, I can't.
That's right. We don't take shots at anybody else. No, we only pick the favorites. We keep it middle of the road. That's what we do.
He's angry.
He's had a couple of rants lately. I'm trying to think of one of the. Oh, he did.
He always goes off on Trump.
The political rant.
Always goes off on Trump.
He had the
That's
political rant about the Gap wearing, the Gap brand wearing, khaki wearing, tiki torch carrying in Virginia.
Yeah.
He attacked the whole family, all the way down to the daughters and everything.
Yeah.
So. He's angry.
He doesn't care. Yeah.
Pretty damn funny, though.
That was very funny. Yeah. I was just waiting for him to drop a Ben McAdon't or something. I didn't hear that, but that was pretty funny.
It would be stealing off Twitter because that was like one of the first
Ben McAdoo
freaking jokes on that, like right after it happened or before it happened. But yeah.
Yeah, that's just crazy. And by the way, Ben McAdoo was the one-time offensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers. That's embarrassing. And he's right. That hair and that mustache.
Just wedged in a Packer thing out of nowhere.
Of course I did. Did you notice they won and they're only a game out of the playoff spot? I'm going to throw that in there.
Maybe he's a good OC. You never know.
Where did that come from?
Some guys are better coordinators than they are coaches. It's embarrassing to think that that guy was once an offensive coordinator that was very successful. It's terrible.
I just have no idea why you wedged in a Packers reference.
You wedge in plenty of stuff. I'm wedging that in. Yeah.
I do?
Yes, what? You do.
What?
I'm not going to be AJ to you. I'm not going to do that.
I want to know what I wedge in. I'm trying to be a better radio guy.
Clarence wants to get in here and brag about his Saints. What was that?
Hey, guys. It was me laughing at Michael Rappaport.
That was good stuff.
Man, that was funny.
He's angry.
Something about Ben McAdoo and his porn stash from 1970.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, you can attack his hair, but let's not attack the mustache. That's a pretty sensitive topic for me right now. I don't think we need to be attacking people's facial hair.
Just wedge that in about your beard.
You know, he's a porn star.
Yeah.
But hey,
Clarence, though. One thing, though. It's a bad combination when you go Pat Riley hair with that porn stash. Okay. All right.
Like you should be standing outside the park.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Go ahead, man.
What's
up?
How's it going, buddy?
I'm good. You know what? I already gave you your props. I gave the Saints their props. I admitted I was wrong. I did all of that earlier in the show. Catch the podcast.
Nah, see, here's the thing. Friday on Nick Picks, I heard Barry didn't hesitate to pick the Saints. Nick didn't hesitate to pick the Saints at all. You took a good 10 seconds.
But
your mouth said Saints, but your head was saying Panthers. And I want you to do that every time you're picking against us. Every time you decide to open your mouth and say Saints, I want you to do that. Think in your head, oh, Atlanta. Because I know you already have Atlanta Thursday.
Absolutely right.
I know you already have Atlanta Thursday.
Indeed.
And that's okay. You're my buddy. You're my pal. You're realistic about things.
Clarence, you have no idea. It was like a Packer game. I was screaming at the TV, go Panthers, the entire game. I just wanted the Panthers that badly because I knew that if I didn't have the Panthers win and I couldn't save face on my prediction, that I was going to hear it from you and about five others.
But, hey, you stuck with it. You stuck with it. And y'all said that Saints couldn't beat a winning team. They beat the same team twice. Now they have to go to Atlanta and take care of the Chokers.
Oh, boy.
And then we'll see what happens with them.
Can I just ask, what's going on with Kamara's grill? Have you guys seen this?
Yeah, the gold teeth?
Yeah, tops and bottoms, but only like three-quarters of the way. He has his eye teeth come back out, regular teeth. So it's an interesting look.
Yeah, he's got the nose ring.
Wouldn't it be bad if you pick the Falcons, Joe, and you have to hear this same call twice if the Saints win in 1 week?
It's worth it to me. I'm going to take the Falcons because it's worth it to me to get another call like this.
Hey, you know, it's no problem at all. And I don't mind calling in on Friday right before I go on my cruise.
Oh, just throw that in.
Win or loss.
Go on your cruise. All right, we're not even asking about that, Clarence. We'll talk to you Friday and see how that goes.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. See y'all later.
Have a good day, buddy.
Go Saints. Who dat?
No, I don't need to hear all that.
That was just for you.
Imagine if they don't make the playoffs.
The Saints?
Yeah.
They're making the playoffs.
Okay. I'm just imagining. I mean, the thing is they still got two games with Atlanta, right?
Uh-huh.
I got to look at the rest of their
schedule. The Jets and the Bucks.
Oh, yeah. Screw that.
Yeah.
I'm toast on that one.
Yeah, they're at least winning 11 because they're 9-3 right now. That they split with the Falcons, they're going 12-4.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Which is probably what's going to happen.
Okay. Enough said. I took that one.
That's all right.
That's an L.
That's what we do. You know, you put your neck out there sometimes. You make a bold statement. People mock you. Sometimes it comes through. Sometimes it doesn't.
Damn Redskins. If they'd have hung on to that win, I'd still be sitting pretty.
Because
they lost last week. They won this week.
I'd just need the Falcons to win
Thursday night.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Well, it happens.
It does, and it happened to me. And I hate it, but I'll deal with it.
Yeah, here's your playoffs. If you're curious, as they stand right now, Patriots, Steelers, Titans, Chiefs, Jags, Ravens in the AFC and the NFC, Vikings, Eagles, Rams, Saints, Seahawks, Panthers.
There's some bad teams making the playoffs right now. The Ravens still are just.
Can we stop putting brutal. The Texans in the hunt? I laugh.
Who's putting them in the hunt?
Keep hope alive, man.
I laugh every time they put the graphic up during a Texans game and have them in the hunt. No, they're not in the hunt. They're, no.
Wait, 4-8 doesn't have a shot?
No.
I thought they announced that chance.
No. No way.
Trey's power rankings have them at number 11 right now.
They're not winning the division. They're not in the hunt. It's over.
I agree.
Okay.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We got a half hour to go in the big show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. So don't go anywhere, and please join us if you'd like. 713-780-3776. Call that number or text us or hit us up on Twitter. Back in just mere minutes on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Back on the Usual Suspects. Half hour to go in the big show. Two segments before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. As we were talking football, we were talking about all this crap with the Giants. And if you listen to Michael Rappaport, who was talking about how bad Geno Smith was too, it didn't get any better for Geno in the postgame. Because the first thing that, or one of the things that Geno wanted to talk about instead of his bad performance was the fact that he pays attention, obviously, to what people were thinking about the switch with Eli, giving the starting quarterback job to him, and the fact that he made special mention of the fact that he took notice of his ex-coach, one Rex Ryan, who wasn't a big fan of the switch.
But I did see one of my ex-coaches say he didn't want me to be his quarterback, and that really upset me. You know, the guy that we saved his job 2013, you know, we fought our ass off for him both years, and for him to come out and say that just shows you how much of a coward he is.
Oh.
What coach are you talking about? Rex
Ryan. In case you had any questions.
And it's because it's even worse. You know he's mad because the question was about Ben McAdoo. It wasn't about Rex Ryan.
Right.
And this is before Ben McAdoo was fired, and he was saying, you know, there's reports out there that Ben McAdoo will be fired after this game. Did you hear that, and what are your thoughts? He's like, no, I didn't hear that. I like Ben McAdoo. I want to play for him. But I did hear Rex Ryan say this. And so that just shows how mad he was about the situation. But he seems like a sensitive dude.
Well, I mean, I can't blame him in that case.
Shouldn't he be sensitive about the three picks? And
he should
be concerned enough to maybe try and not do that anymore? Because Geno really hasn't changed his stripes since he got to the NFL.
Nope. He is what we thought he was.
Indeed.
Right?
Yes.
We were talking about the playoffs. I was giving that on the way out, mm-hmm. right? And I started looking and I started thinking about this. And if I asked you who you think would win the AFC South, what would you throw out there? Now, I'm going to give you the remaining schedules for both the Titans and the Jags because it's obviously going to come down to those two being tied right now at 8-4. So I'll give you their remaining schedule.
God, the Titans are 8-4.
Yeah. And they play each other in the last game of the year. So one might think, oh, well, it's a no-brainer. Whoever wins that game is going to win the AFC South. But if I gave you the schedules, you might think differently. Mm-hmm. The Jags, before their last game of the year versus the Titans, they are at home against the Seahawks, at home against the Texans, and on the road against the Niners.
Okay.
All right. The Titans are on the road against Arizona, mm-hmm. on the road against the Niners, and at home against the Rams. So two games I think for the Titans are winnable. I think they beat the Cardinals and beat the Niners.
Agreed.
Then it comes down to the Rams, right? And then obviously and then for Jacksonville, I think it's the same thing. They beat the Texans, yep. they beat the Niners. So it comes down to the Seahawks. Seattle. So this season comes down to two things. Can they both take care of their big game versus either the Seahawks or the Rams?
Right.
But if they both, let's assume they both lose those, then it comes down to the last game of the year. If one of them wins and one of them loses, and then it's going to get interesting because whoever wins, if they win that last game, it's over.
What week is the Rams game?
It's the week before the Jags game, so it's 12-24.
So it's the second to last game of the regular season.
Yeah, 12-24 for the Titans. This is going to be interesting to watch.
Is that at home or on the road?
It's at home against the Rams.
Well, and I was going to say, maybe the Rams won't need that game because they'll have put away the division. But they only have a one-game lead over the Seahawks. So both the Seahawks and the Rams are going to need that game.
Mm-hmm.
So there is going to be no resting players and taking it easy. Man.
It's going to get really interesting over the next 4 weeks in the AFC South.
And again, where is that game, the last game of the regular season?
It is in Tennessee.
Because that helps in Tennessee. Because the things you look at, because I pay such close attention when the real wagering guys do it in Fred and AJ, so I can pick games correctly and not just the favorites. I take notice of the fact that it's who's at home, who has the better quarterback. Those weigh heavily into making a decision like that. As good as Jacksonville is everywhere else, they still have Blake Bortles. And I would think, who are you taking? I mean, of the two, you're going to take Mariota over Bortles pretty much every time, aren't you?
I am, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? I mean, from a quarterback perspective, right. Absolutely.
Right.
But that Jags defense is leaps and bounds better than that Titans defense.
I agree with that.
So that whole the advantage that you get is nullified by the defenses.
Because I've been taught that you get 3 points for being the home team.
What?
Normally.
See, they're playing each other last, too, right?
Correct.
Yeah, last game of regular season.
And it's in Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, and Jacksonville does really good against the run, too, right? Like, defending the rush.
Here's what I think happens. I think happens. I think that the Titans lose to the Rams.
I can see that happen. That's in L.A., right?
Yep. No, it's at home.
Oh, okay.
It's at home. But I think the Titans lose to the Rams. And I think that the Jags beat the Seahawks.
I don't.
That's at home.
Well, I'll tell you what. It pains me, but it's true. Seattle's playing good ball right now, but it's all because
Russell
of
Wilson's
one guy.
Playing
Russell
good ball.
Wilson's like got
everybody else is all
Russell
right.
Wilson has wedged his way into the MVP discussion with Carson Wentz and Tom Brady. He is unbelievable.
But
right
the Jags
now.
Have the defenders and the athletes to set the edge, which is paramount when you're playing somebody like Russell Wilson.
Oh, for sure.
But they also have the ability to hang with the Jimmy Grahams of the world because that's a key to that offense with Russell Wilson.
To set both edges on any given play. Because the way he changes directions and goes back, you better contain on the backside and you better set the edge down on the front side.
Yeah. But I think in the way I see this is I think the Jags win the 3 games going into that game against the Titans. So that puts them at 11-4. No. Yeah, that puts them at 11-4. I think Tennessee loses to the Rams. So I think that going into that game at home, it's Tennessee. It's a must win against the Jags. And
this
if they win it,
may be a loaded question for you.
If they win it, they win the tiebreak because they would have won both games against the Jags.
That's what I was going to ask. I was going to say because you didn't have a chance to
then,
look it up.
Then
I was
going to
wonder who had the tiebreaker.
Yep. It's going to be kind of cool to watch down the stretch because it's going to be interesting now. What happens is that if one of these teams screws it up and accidentally drops one to the Niners or the Texans, that would be hilarious, or the Cardinals.
Who in the world would have thought the Jaguars could be sitting at 11-4 going into the final game of the regular season?
I mean,
I know their receivers coach did.
I expected them to make the playoffs. I didn't expect them to potentially win the AFC South. I had them in as the wild card.
Give Barry the credit that he is due. Barry did exactly pick that. He picked Jacksonville to be a wild card.
Also, I've been saying all year that I had the Giants, but then I went back and looked at my predictions. I had the Eagles the whole time.
You didn't lock those picks in where you could change them, right?
No, it's recorded. We did a whole show on this.
Did you go back and check the podcast?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. Because I was like, because I had on my list, I had the Eagles, and I thought, I think I picked the Giants. And then I went back and listened. No, I picked the Eagles the whole time.
You must have been with the Blitz.
No, I was originally going to go with the Giants, and then I used this weird, like, partial last year, partial formula thing that I came up with to pick all the teams I thought would win. And the Eagles bubbled up to the top, so that's what I went with.
I think the Jaguars is a better pick. They're your Colorado Rockies.
They are my Rockies for the year.
There you go. All right, that's why you should listen to the show, because not only are we number one in the Houston market and all over on ESPN, but we
voted
make picks that make sense, that can make money for you. That's why we give you dollars and cents right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Hey, back for the final segment of The Usual Suspects, as we like to call it, the big show, or at least I like to call it the big show. Before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz, they start from 4. They'll take you home till 7. Very football-centric today, as it should be, with a lot of the the results of college football, and then, of course, the final poll coming out, which had everybody talking, and then the results of all the NFL action, including the Texans dropping yet another game to go to 4-8 and lose it in very Texan-like fashion.
Uh-huh. A lot of injuries in the game. I was asking Nick.
Yeah.
I was asking Nick for a list, and he found something from the House of Houston on FanSided. And Brian K. Patterson did a good job of putting a list of all the different injuries together. It's confirmed, and this is a quote from the article. It's confirmed that Bruce Ellington, Jonathan Joseph, Braxton Miller, Alfred Blue were all in the locker room at some point during the game. Chris Thompson had a brief ailment, but was able to return to the game with minimal effects. But the injury to raise your brow is certainly C.J. Fedorowicz. And he goes on to mention that this is the fourth concussion for Fedorowicz in the last calendar year.
Oof.
They're talking now about him possibly taking some sort of injury settlement and retiring.
That's a shame. Just signed a new deal. Just started coming into his own where people started thinking he could be their tight end of the future for the next couple of years anyway. You know, started putting up good numbers. God, that's sad to hear. But when you get four concussions in a calendar year, they're talking about, when you hear about and read some of these articles on CTE and everything, the amount of memory loss, the short-term memory, everything that's affected by that, and the fact that it could really be debilitating even more so later on in life, you got to be smart on that.
3-year, $21.5 million contract that he signed before the season started. And it's just an unfortunate situation because you look at the Texans offense and how, I mean, it's semi-important or how important the tight end position has been in terms of getting yards over the past, I don't know, two or three seasons, even when Brock was here. But perhaps you can blame Brock for all those concussions because
you're absolutely right.
I can't tell you how many times he caught a ball and next thing you know, you got a defender flying at him. But yeah, one late last season and three this season, one of which was was yesterday. So yeah, that sucks.
You think Brock's got enough money that he could flip him some?
He should.
I believe so.
Give him a portion of that, right?
Because he's getting all that, and then he signed a new deal with the Broncos when he became their backup.
But he's a used car salesman. He's not going to do that.
Or insurance salesman, for sure. Yeah. But, you know, that's on him. When he heard about it with Fedorowicz, first thing he said, you know, guys, that's on me. I got to do a better job.
So Fedorowicz's dead money this year is $10 million against the cap, $5 million next year, and then in 2019 and 2020, no dead money. So,
now is that still $5 million on the cap for next year if they reach a settlement in the offseason?
I am not sure how an injury settlement works. I imagine that there is a chunk of dead money. I just don't know what. I have a thing in front of me. I'll look it up.
Okay.
And maybe be able to tell you, or maybe the Blitz knows, or I don't know. But yeah, I'm not sure how the dead money works. I'm sure there is some sort of penalty. I just don't know what it is.
And I was wondering, I know, Nick, you were tweeting, so I know you were watching at least one of the conference championship games. I think we all were watching them. But the thing to me was all these Dr. Pepper challenges to win, what was it, scholarship money?
Yep.
100,000 Dr. Pepper challenge for one of
them. So do you think they went out and looked at getting the biggest doofuses they could to try and compete in it, even though they knew they in each one of them they were going to give $125,000 in scholarship money away, 100 for the winner, 25 for the loser, which is great. But you already know you have to give away the money anyway. Don't get the biggest doofuses you can find to look as uncoordinated as possible to try and execute the deal.
Well, in this situation, I mean, females can play sports, but she just made him look
I'm
bad.
Talking about the guys. The guys are the biggest doofuses.
My wife got mad at me, and I'm usually not this guy, but they get this dude, and they're like, where are you from? He's like, I'm from Houston. I was like, oh, all right. Playboy's about to run away with this. We got this. They're like, are you nervous? He's like, yeah. His voice is cracking.
His voice, dude, I couldn't believe it. His voice was cracking. He was so nervous.
I'm really nervous. And then they go to the chick, and she's like, what about you? And she goes, I didn't hear the question. And she goes, oh, yeah, you and Nick Saban have something in common. And she goes, are you nervous? She's like, no. Like, all confident.
Just happy to be here.
And then they started throwing it, and it was like, I was like, am I drunk? Because he's throwing like she should throw. She's throwing like he should throw. At one point, twice, he misses the can. Now,
that's hard to do.
I'll give you an idea of how big the can is. Stand in front of an 18-wheeler about 10 yards back on the side and try not to hit it. This dude just...
Like, everything's going to the left.
Misses everything.
Makes
I'm
no
like,
adjustment.
Scoot over.
He's just throwing it to the left. throwing it to the left.
I'm like, oh my God. At one point I yell out, this is what they found to represent the H. This just ruins our World Series.
It's kind of fitting.
You got this dude out there. He just has ruined our World Series championship. Now we look bad to the rest of the country again.
Then you go to the Big Ten championship game halftime, and you get the guy who's already planned out what he's going back to school, and he's going to grad school, and he wants this for medical school, and he chest passes every throw.
That I don't get.
He chest passes him. I'm texting back
obviously
and forth
with one
of my buddies who's a Buckeye, because we're going back and forth talking about the game, and I go, they just found a dude that throws just like you. And he wasn't watching, and the expletives that came back to me when he finally saw who was throwing, he's like, what is this guy doing? And he won.
Yeah, he was throwing it like he was confident, but there was a couple that missed, so I thought he was going to go to the granny style for a second there, and he didn't. But if you do it and you win, it doesn't look as bad. You know what I mean? Like, if you do it and you lose, then it looks much worse.
Yeah, you could just say it was something to the effect like a Rick Barry free throw. It was like, it's more accurate that way. This was about winning, not looking pretty.
Think about that, though. With a basketball, you can chest pass with good aim, and you can potty pitch it with good aim. With a football, with two hands on the side of the football, it's a little harder to keep that thing on a straight line, but dude was lights out with the chest pass.
Well,
I think he got like 14.
I don't know who the guy was from Houston, but if you're a friend of him and you're listening to the show, I want you to punch him on the arm. Frog him next time you see him.
It was embarrassing.
I was like, bro, like it wasn't even close. It was 9-4.
He was the Scott Norwood of Dr. Pepper.
How do you miss the whole can, yo? You're standing right in front of it. I mean, what is it? They're 10 yards away?
I think they're a little bit more than that, but it's
15?
Not that, yeah.
20? It doesn't matter. You should at least hit the can. I'm not saying you have to make, like, good for her. You know, I mean, chicks can throw too. So there's no shame in getting beat by her. The problem is you can't throw. What, you have no business signing up for that contest. How do you not practice every day, 8 hours a day? You got 100 girl on the line. And it was the first time he picked up a football.
And the funny thing was everybody, I think all of the contestants said that they had been practicing.
Well, no, he definitely was not.
That was awful. All right, we appreciate you spending some time with us like you do Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. We're the usual suspects. We'll be back here again tomorrow and throughout the week. And another quick reminder for all you in Beaumont that have been wondering and asking and wanting the schedule, we will be in Beaumont on Friday at Luke's Ice House, so mark your calendar for that as well. But next up, it is Fred, it is AJ, it is The Blitz, right here on ESPN 97.5.